Praise God. Thank you very, very much, everyone. This has been on my spirit for 2 or 3 weeks now, and I believe this is something that God wants us to talk about, something God wants us to address. And that is the subject of meditation. Now, you might always associate, I always associate meditation with Eastern religions. You folks from Nepal may have seen the monks meditating. And what do you do when you meditate? You focus on one thing and you switch everything else out, don't you? That's what you do when you meditate. Now, the negative form of meditation is worry. So don't tell me you don't know how to meditate, because every one of us can worry. But that's the negative side. But that shows you how it works. When you're worried about something, you're thinking about it constantly. It's on your mind. You're chewing it over. You're going from this angle. You're going from this angle. You're trying to work it out. How can I do it? What's the best way to solve this problem? And so your mind, when you get to bed at night, bang, it's on your mind. When you're at rest, it's on your mind. And when you wake up first thing in the morning, it's on your mind. It's on your mind. And that's what is the negative form of meditation. But you know, God wants us to meditate the Word of God. It is crucial to our progress in the Christian walk. And I believe the church is at the moment stagnant for one reason and one reason alone. They don't know who they are because they're not meditating what God says they are, or who God says they are. And so I just want to do a little example here today, and I would really like 9 people to volunteer to sit on one of these chairs. Daniel, can I have you? And you can be Jesus. You can be Jesus. You've got the pride of place. Right. One volunteer, please, to sit on the first chair. Hey. You'll sit next to Daniel. The next one, please. That's your card. Dilip, thank you. The next one, please. That's your card. Vordil, praise God. Hooray. Praise God for Nia, for Charles, for Ivy, Joan. I want 2 more people. No, I want 1 more here. Right. Misery. Right. Now I want you to hold your card up high, facing the congregation. You stand up, dear. Now, this is what the sinner gets. When we were sinners, we lived in sickness and disease. We lived in poverty. We lived in weakness and aging. We lived in failure. We lived in fear. We lived in hatred. We lived in anxiety and stress, and we lived in misery. Is that true? Does that describe the world today? I know it does. I listen to the news and I hear all of it on the news. I see it in action, because that's what the sinner does. Now, I want you to hold in your right hand that, and I want you in your left hand to hold this. Daniel, stand up. Dear, when you realized you were a sinner, what did you do? And you asked him to forgive you your sins. You went to Jesus and you asked him to take your sin. And what did he make you in return?
A saint.
Well, praise God. Just keep hold of that sinner as well at the minute. Right. When we come to Jesus and we ask forgiveness for all of our sin, he not only forgives our sins, but he gives us all these good things as well. We have a divine right to divine health. We have a right to wealth, not poverty. We have a right to strength and to the renewing of our youth. We have a right to success instead of failure. We have a right to faith instead of fear. We have a right to love instead of hatred. We have a right to peace instead of anxiety and stress. We have a right to joy instead of misery. Okay? Does everybody agree with that? Amen. I have no problem with it. But am I walking in it? Well, I understand that one. And 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 most of the time I understand that one. But sometimes I struggle with that one. And that one. And sometimes that one. So I'm a bit selective. How about you? But you know, I would really like to enter into my inheritance. And my inheritance is, I'm a saint, okay? I have no problem with that. Does anybody have a problem with knowing they're a saint? No. We know we're saved. I want to live in that divine health. Jesus has already given it. There's no question of that. He's given it to me. But I have problems sometimes receiving that because my body shouts too loud. And I listen to this. And I listen to this instead of listening to this, the Spirit. Wealth. Yeah. Strength, and God renews my youth. I don't need to be saying that I feel I'm getting old, because I'm not. Not in God's world. God says he renews my youth like the eagles. God says I'm not a failure. I'm a success. All his kids are successful. I don't need to be afraid. God's provided all the protection that I need. I need to have faith, because faith brings God's power to work. Hatred. No, it's love. Love your enemies. Love those who persecute you. I will not be anxious or stressful. God has given me his peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. If I've got God's peace, how can I live with stress? They don't go together. No. And how can I be miserable when God says the joy of the Lord is my strength? God has done so much for me. And I need to rejoice. And I need to look at what God has done and not what the enemy is trying to show me. So you can sit down there for a little while if you like, because I might just refer to a few of these. So you can listen from there, and I'll try and stand in between. You know, Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He says, in fact, I'm going to read it, Matthew 11. And it's verses 28 and 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light? Are we living in God's ease and God's light? Or do we have good days and bad days when we're in the devil's camp and when we're in God's camp? Do we jump about? Well, I think a lot of us do. It depends what the devil attacks us with. It depends where we are. But God says there is one way to sort all this out. The greatest hindrance to us living in our inheritance and living in what God says is our mind. This stops us from entering in to what God says, because we want to reason, we want to work it out, we want to understand it. And God says, no, by faith you receive it. And our mind gets in the way. And in Romans, and this is one of Bill's favourite chapters, Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 is the answer to our mind. Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is a reasonable request, not something outlandish, something very ordinary. And this is how we do it. And be not conformed to this world. Don't think like the world thinks. And it says that be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. What's the perfect will of God? Daniel, what do you think is the perfect will of God? The perfect will of God is that we walk in all that he has given to us. Jesus has given you divine health. He's given you wealth, strength, success, faith, love, peace and joy. God wants us to walk in all of those. And he said, you can do it because I've already given it to you. It's already in your spirit. But your mind gets in the way. You're thinking, like Bish used to say, it's our stinking thinking that gets in the way. But God says, I want your spirit and your mind to agree. How do we get there? The Word of God says, as a man thinks, so is he. So whatever you think you are in your mind, that's what you'll accept. That's the way your body will go. Your body will follow your mind. It won't follow your spirit. It'll follow your mind. So if you think you're sick, if you believe everything that your body tells you over what God says, then guess what? You'll not walk in divine health, will you? If we think that we don't have the money, we won't have the money because our mind's getting in the way. If we think we can't do something, we won't achieve it. We'll be under par. But if we know that we have God's ability within us and all we need to do is ask him and draw on his ability, then we will be successful. We will get through. If we know that God said, my peace I leave with you, he said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about a thing. Give it to me. Come on, give it to me. I'll sort it. You take your hands off it. I really want to give the devil a beating. So come on, give it to me and I'll sort it out. But we say, no, God, I can handle this. And God's saying, no, you can't. It's bigger than you. We need to renew our minds. So God says it's not for us to live by circumstances, to live by the negative, to live by what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we touch, what we taste. They're all our senses. And they're the things that block us from receiving what God has given to us in our spirits. And the only way to deal with that is to renew it with the Word of God. Because what does the Word of God say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So if we want to overcome and bring our minds into line with our spirits, then we need to read the Word of God. This Word is living and active. This is God. And it says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So we need to take in this Word and we need to speak it out loud. We need to stand in front of the mirror and quote it to yourself. When you get to bed at night, that needs to be on your mind as you go to sleep. When you wake up in the morning, you need to be meditating what God says about your situation. And you know, it won't be long before the confession of God is coming out of your mouth. And that's the only way to get your mind and your spirit to agree. Because until our minds and our spirits are in agreement, we are failing to walk in our inheritance. And God has given us a great and mighty and awesome inheritance. And I just don't want us to lose out. I was reading this week about a man called David Hathaway. I don't know if you've heard of him. But David Hathaway is now in his late 80s, and he's an evangelist into Europe. And when he was, in 1971, he was going into Russia, and he was smuggling Bibles into Russia. And he was caught by the authorities and put into prison. And he was taken for trial, and he was given a sentence of 10 years. And he was in his prison cell, and he'd been there for a number of months in his first year, and he was beginning to feel very downcast, very miserable. And his prison was stinking, it was dark, it was filthy. He was being tortured for the gospel, and his spirits were very low. And all he was focusing on was 10 years of this. How can I endure 10 years of this, God? And suddenly, a verse of scripture came to him, and it was when Paul and Silas were in prison. And what did they do in prison? They started to praise God. And there was a little song that dropped into his spirit, and it was, "Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Saviour God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art." And he sang that song, and he sang that song, and the whole of his prison cell lit up with the glory of God. The whole prison could hear him singing and worshipping the living God. And that broke something in the heavenly realms. And within weeks, he was set free. He was a free man. Don't tell me my God isn't powerful. Don't tell me we can't have the joy of the Lord in extreme circumstances. It's when the circumstances are extreme that we need to shout the victory. We need to praise God. We need to really get into the heavenly realms and break the principalities and powers up there that are resisting what God says. You know, this word, if you quote this word, God will give you the word to quote. He knows your situation. If you look in the Word of God and you say, "God, I need to know what you say about this. I need victory. I need breakthrough. How am I going to do it?" He will give you the very word that you need. Times many I've just opened my Bible and there is the very thing I need to know. And God said, "Speak it, think it, meditate it, focus it, keep it in front of your eyes and worship me and see me work and I'll set you free." When I was a kid, I used to go to Sunday school, and I was given a Sunday school prize, and it was the life story of Gladys Aylward. Now, I don't know if many of you have heard, it's an old book, and in the 1940s, She was out in China as a missionary. But prior to going to China, she was a parlour maid in a rich man's house. She wasn't intelligent by this world's standards. And she applied to the China missions to go and be supported by them as a missionary to China. And they interviewed her and they looked at her qualifications and they said, "You can't go, you're not clever enough. You'll never learn Mandarin Chinese. You'll never communicate with the people." But she knew God had called her to China, and to China she would go. I believe she applied to another organization who also turned her down. But you know, God hadn't rejected her. She knew in her spirit that she was meant for China. And God opened the door for her, and she contacted a lady out in China who was already a missionary, and they called her Mrs. Lawson. And Mrs. Lawson was in her 70s, and she said to Gladys, "You come. You ask God for your fare, and he will provide. If he's called you, he'll give you the money to get here." And God provided her money, and she left England with a few provisions. She went overland to China, and she was a brave girl to make that journey on her own with very little in her pocket and very little to support her. She was most successful in China. She was a foot inspector to the Mandarin of Yangcheng. And apparently the custom in China at that time was when the baby was born, a girl, they would bind her feet to stop them growing. For some reason, it was considered that women needed small feet. And so they would bandage their feet very tightly at birth. And as a result, their feet became deformed and they couldn't walk properly. And so Gladys worked in the clinic, the foot clinic. And there she would pray with the people, the women that came to the clinic. And she at one point quelled a riot in the prison. This little woman, she wasn't even 5 foot tall, but she went in there and she quelled this argument, this fight in the prison. And eventually the Mandarin watched her life, and he saw that she did exactly what she said. Her actions lined up with her words. And as a result, he gave his life to Jesus. And this woman, there was trouble. Japan invaded China, and they were killing just randomly. And she got 100 orphaned children, and she led them to safety over the mountains. She walked them all across the mountains to Siam. When she got to across the mountains with these 100 children, she was told that that checkpoint that she was going for was closed. She didn't fall to pieces. She set off and went in another direction for the next checkpoint. And she took the children with her. She would not give up. She would not accept failure. She said, "God has called me to do this, and do this I will." You could not kill her spirit. She knew her God, and she knew that if God said to do it, she could do it. If God said, "I can have it, it's mine." That was her attitude. And you know, I've got to say that the church, all of us, we need to change our attitude towards the Word of God. If God says, "I can have it," if God says he's given it to me, he's got a man that lies. He has given it me. I will not let this get in the way, because this wants to reason, and God's not into reason. He said, "I want your mind renewed. I want you to learn to think like I think." If we put this Word of God into our spirits, it will sort our mind out. Our mind will gradually begin to think God's thoughts. And it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we know by what people say at what level their spirit is, what level their faith is. And God wants us to be mighty and powerful. You know, Psalm 91, It was a psalm that Moses wrote, and he said, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." What does it mean to dwell in the secret place? It means to get on your own with God and to get under his wings, get in his presence. You get in his presence by reading his word. Get lost in his presence. Soak him in, soak him in, soak him in. And as you soak him in, and don't pay attention to whatever the devil is trying to tell you. We'll listen to God and focus on God. He will protect us. We can claim all the verses that follow in Psalm 91. He said, "No evil shall befall you. You'll have a long life, a satisfying life. He will give you lots of good things." God wants good things for his children. He has given good things for his children. But we're resisting because we're not thinking God's thoughts. We're not renewing our minds. In John chapter 7, it says, sorry, John chapter 15 and verse 7, it says, "Abide in me and I will abide in you. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'll give you anything. Just abide in me. Abide in me. Soak this in. Read it. Study it. Focus it. And when you wake up, when you go to sleep, just be this word. And I'll do the rest," God says. "It will just come. It'll flow like a river from the throne room. You will live. You won't recognize your lifestyle. You won't recognize where you are." Paul said, you know, that God wants the manifold presence of God to be made manifest through the church. That's God's plan. That the manifold presence of God be made manifest through the church. If it's not being made manifest through our lives, how can we make it manifest out there and display the power and the works of God? God is setting us a challenge. He says, "Church, you're a sleeping giant. Get up and let me work. Stand in agreement with my word." You know, I was thinking of Ezekiel 37, the valley of dry bones. Speak to those bones. Breathe the life of the spirit into those bones, because those dead bones are my mighty army. And I think those dead bones describe the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, we're not dead bones. We have the life of God within us, have we not? And what Jesus said is our inheritance. What Jesus did gave us everything we need to succeed in this life, to take the gospel to the nation and beyond, to win men and women for Jesus, to see this area transformed. Why? Because we've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. The devil can't say to me, "You can't do it. You're not clever enough. You're not strong enough. You're not young enough." No, 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 no. God says, "You can do it, Grace, because it's not you that's doing it. It's me that's doing it in you. And greater works shall you do." Jesus said, "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world." Amen? Amen? Amen. And there's one verse, and I keep saying it, and it's Colossians 1 and verse 3. From verse 12. "Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Who has, he's already done it, "who has delivered Ivy from the power of darkness and translated her into the kingdom of God's dear Son, in whom she has redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Now, don't argue against that. Let's just believe it, receive in it, and walk in it. Jesus said, "The prince of this world is coming. It's time for me to go. The prince of this world is coming, and he has no power over me." Am I in Christ? Is Christ in God? Is not Jesus the head and I'm the body? So if the devil has no power over the head, can he have any power over the body? No. If the devil has no power over God and he has no power over Jesus, and I am in Jesus and Jesus is in God, has he any power over me? You know, this is what meditating is. It's looking at it from all sides. And I've found as I've been meditating this word, even last night I woke up, for two nights I've been wide awake at 4 o'clock and I've been preaching to myself. And one scripture's come up, and then another scripture's come up, and then another scripture's come up. And I've been fair bursting because God has been saying to me, Grace, you are more than a conqueror. You can do this. You've got all my power invested in you. Now get this mind renewed and get out there and do what I've called you to do. We are more than conquerors. We can do it. We will do it in the name of Jesus. But you know, if what comes out of our mouth is negative, then we're not going to receive it because our mind is not renewed. Our mind has to line up with our spirits, and the only way that can happen is to get in that word of God and meditate it, meditate it, meditate it. When the devil wants you to chew a problem, then go on to the word of God, find the answer, and chew the word of God. And I promise you, your situation will change because God is mighty. I want to live in the red ones, what the blood bought for me. I'm a saint who lives in divine health, who has all the wealth that I need. I don't lack. I have all the strength that I need. My youth is renewed. Hey, Dale? I'm strong. Amen. I'm successful in everything I do, Ray. I have faith that moves mountains. Amen. I have love and forgiveness in my heart. I have peace. I have joy. Not circumstantial. It doesn't matter what's going on around. I have the peace of God. I have the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. I can overcome all things. No wonder Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do we believe it? Can we do it? Are we going to meditate it till the fanatic in the attic topples and thinks what God thinks? The fella in the cellar, he needs to know that the fanatic's gone and that I am thinking God's thoughts, because then my life will be transformed. I cannot be conformed to this world. I hate watching the news these days. At one time I was always watching it. Now watching, I think, you negative, negative, negative people. I don't want anything to do with you. I want to read and focus on what God says, because that is where I need to be. We rule, the devil doesn't. Amen? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I think that you need to pick a verse this week that you can learn off by heart, and when you go to sleep at night, you can chew on it. You might want to take, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It might be something that is very personal to you. But yeah, I think it would be good to get a verse, learn it, focus it, speak it, think it, live it. And we've got victory. We've got what Jesus promised. And this church will rise up. And this church will change this area and beyond and beyond. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, folks. You can go and sit where you need to be.